Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Jesus speaks these words to us, just as he does to Peter, not to shame us for lack of faith, but rather to encourage us, to spur us on to greater faith and trust in him, so that he can then work great wonders in our hearts and in our lives. A little earlier in this same gospel passage, he says to all the disciples in the boat, "Take courage, do not be afraid." In other words, I am here, so there's nothing to fear. Note how similar this is to what we saw last week. Remember the transfiguration. Have no fear. Remember the disciples hit the dirt and they were face down, prostrate, and Jesus goes and touches them, tells them to have no fear. And then all they see is Jesus. Remember, he is all we need. He's all we need. And he's always present within our hearts. So, as the Father urged us last week, listen to him. Listen to him. Trust in him. Not in yourself or in anyone else. Trust first and foremost in him. Now, to be sure, the waves of life will always be there. Jesus doesn't magically make them go away. They're always going to be there rocking our boats to one degree or another. But we are never truly alone in the boat, which ultimately represents the church, the bark of Peter, you may have heard. So we're never alone in that boat, even when we're very far from shore. It's kind of scary. We can't see any land. It might be dark out. There might be a lot of waves. We're never alone. He is always there and will always take care of us. And after all, he is God. And anything is possible with God, right? Therefore, we really have no reason to be afraid, no matter how difficult things may get. Of course, this is easier said than done. No doubt about it. Yet it is very possible. And the key is to always keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Always keep your eyes fixed on him. Look for him especially in your heart, in the silence of your heart, where he's there burning with love for you and yearning to lead you deeper and deeper into conversion. Don't get distracted by the waves, which are the shiny objects of the world, the flashy things, or the loud noises, the things that bombard us. Don't get distracted by them. And don't fall into the trap of expecting to see Christ in grand ways and then getting discouraged when this doesn't happen. Because it's not going to happen, at least not very often. And so otherwise, if you don't resist this, then you will sink into the contagion of the world. It's so easy to do. And the world is beckoning at every call, right? Luring us in. Therefore, you will do well to learn from the prophet Elijah's experience in today's first reading. Notice, where does he find the Lord? Is it in the big dramatic events, the earthquake and the fire and the wind is blowing so hard it's crushing the rocks? It must have been kind of terrifying, especially he's in a cave. There's an earthquake when you're in a cave. I imagine that might be a little unsettling. But is that where he finds the Lord? No. It's in that still, simple, whispering sound is where the Lord comes to him. So yes, look for Christ in the simplicity and silence of your heart. And as you grow in a relationship with him there, he will work more and more wonders, some of which will actually be visible to the naked eye. This is just the way that God operates. It's the mustard seed principle, right? And the psalmist knows this, as we see in today's responsorial. Justice shall walk before him, we heard, and prepare the way of his steps. Justice is God's pathway. He's always just. He determines what is just, what is right, and what is wrong, right? That's his pathway, and it's brought to fulfillment in the Paschal mystery. That's where it reaches its pinnacle. It's fully revealed to us, we might say. And that's how we recognize that true justice is not merely giving the other what is due. That's kind of the classic secular definition, right? If I owe somebody, well, I restore justice by paying that debt, by reconciling whatever difference may be there. That's not terrible, but that's not the fullness of justice at all. Christ ultimately restores justice by selflessly giving to the other The other is us, all human beings. What is not due? He doesn't owe us anything. We're the sinners. We're the ones that have turned away from him. We're the ones that drove him to the cross through our sins, right? That's why he went there. So he selflessly offers to us what isn't due to us at all by sacrificing himself for those who have wronged him. That's how he reconciles the debt that we owe, that we never could pay. He pays it out of love for us. And he does it not in a capricious way where he's like hangs it over our head, like, I did this, now you owe me all. No, he did it just out of love for us. Now he invites us into that love. That's justice. That's justice, friends. And by doing this, he opens up the pathway to true freedom. True freedom leads to true justice. And he invites each of us to join him on the final exodus. That's a link back to last week. Remember what Elijah and Moses were talking to Jesus about on the mountain, about his final exodus from this world to our heavenly homeland. He wants us all to come with him. That's why he restored justice, to make that a possibility for us. Now, what does this mean for us? Well, it means that we must embrace the cross. That's justice right there. If you want to know what justice is, just take a look. That's what it looks like right there. Total self-emptying love. Dying to self and rising to new life in Christ each day and offering your life selflessly to build up those around you. It's not just an individual project. It's the body of Christ working together. And this means that we do this even, and I might say, especially for those who have hurt you. Especially those who have hurt you. Just like we hurt Jesus with our sins. He did that for us. And so we're called to follow in his footsteps, to help him to continue to restore this justice throughout the world, building up his body, the body of Christ. And when you live this way, not for yourself, but for God, for Christ especially, and other people, then, as the psalmist also says, kindness and truth shall meet, justice and peace shall kiss, truth shall spring out of the earth, and justice shall look down from heaven. That's beautiful. And you might think, oh, that's just a pie-in-the-sky fairy tale thing that the psalmist put in there. No, this is possible, friends. It does happen when we walk with the Lord in true justice and true freedom. And it happens throughout all aspects of ongoing conversion. The three-legged stool, we might say. I haven't pulled that one out for a while, so maybe we'll dust it off a little bit. Remember what that means. Three legs of the stool. Sacraments, first and foremost. Especially Eucharist and confession. Daily life of prayer. And then service to our brothers and sisters. Throughout all aspects of that life of conversion. But it happens par excellence when we celebrate the Eucharist well. When we celebrate it well, and thereby become the self-emptying Eucharistic people that God created us to be. Not the selfish, greedy, worldly people that we are sometimes. The Eucharist is quite simply the greatest gift that we can receive this side of heaven. No doubt about it, the greatest gift we can possibly receive. So celebrate it and receive it worthily and well, brothers and sisters, and then share it unabashedly, inviting others to come and celebrate with us, sacrificing for others, and building up the body of Christ in doing so. Yet a frighteningly high number of Catholics don't even believe that Christ is truly present in the Eucharist. About 70% or even more. So we have our work cut out for us, don't we? And that is why we currently have this Eucharistic revival that you hear me and others talking about, because the church recognizes this staggering numbers and this data, and we got to do something about it. So these 3 years of Eucharistic revival, now we're at the parish level. So that's why we're doing these various things. I encourage you, therefore, get involved. Rekindle and strengthen your love for Christ in this most amazing gift of the Eucharist, and then share the good news. And friends, this will light our parish and our community ablaze with holy fire. That's what the Lord wants. And he wants to do it through us. Therefore, take courage and be not afraid of the challenges and struggles in our world and in your life. Don't doubt that Christ is right there at all moments, right there with you at all times. And don't doubt that he won't come through for you, or that he can't come through for you. Remember, He is God. He is going to come through for you. It might not look the same way you want, but He's going to come through for you. He's not going to leave you hanging. Otherwise, if you don't do this, then again, you're going to sink into the cesspool of worldly values and ideologies, along with their false promises that may provide temporary relief at best. But they'll certainly lead you astray. Instead, keep your eyes fixed on Christ. Keep your eyes fixed on Him. Listen to Him and allow Him to lift you above the fray and utilize you in wonderful ways to address the world's problems and struggles and make the bright spots of the world all the more brilliant. He wants to lead you on the most amazing adventure possible and transform you into the saint He created you to be so that He can set the world ablaze through you. So the only question is, will you say yes?